listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, right here on LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station in the world. Right, guys?
Right. Yeah.
Would you agree? Gotcha. So this is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I'm your host, David Cohen. In studio guests today, we got Aiden.
Hello.
What up, Aiden?
Hi, David.
What up, buddy? We got Tessa.
Hello.
And we got Doc Michelle.
Hello.
How's it going?
Great. Nice to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
You guys can check out Dr. Michelle on latalkradio.com as well every Friday at 11 o'clock. Check her out.
Yes, you are on the couch.
She got some cool stuff to say. It is On the Couch with Doc Michelle. The best psychologist in town.
Thank you.
In the world.
Pretty solid.
Pretty
say.
Solid.
Thanks, guys.
Pretty solid, guys.
I'm here for you.
There you go. So this is the show where we talk about anything and everything that's on your mind. You know, we talk about relationships. We talk about stress.
Troubles.
Anything. We also talk about happy things.
Of course.
That's what we do here. It's all about how to improve yourself. Anything that's on your mind. How to do it from the teen perspective. This is the show where we talk to you. We help you guys out. That's what we do. Right?
That is what we are here for, Mr. David Cohen.
If you guys want to call in, you can do so on the show live, 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Or you can email me, and I'll get your emails. TeenTrendsWithDave@gmail.com. Once again, that's TeenTrendsWithDave@gmail.com. Send me your thoughts, your ideas, your questions, your answers.
We'll help you online, too.
It's true.
Did you get a lot of emails today?
I did. As you guys know, we have a Teen Trends Facebook. We always post what the topic's going to be for the day. And we did so, and we got emails. Thank you guys for emailing us. The topic today, speak of the devil, is tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
We today are going to be talking about tolerance. Before I start the show, I just want to give everybody the Webster's Dictionary definition of what tolerance is. Just so everybody knows. The tolerance that we're talking about. You know, there's a few meanings for tolerance, but we're going to be talking about the capacity to endure pain or hardship, endurance, stamina, and which therefore ties into, sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own beliefs, of course, or the act of allowing something. Toleration.
Yes,
there you go.
That's right.
So basically, we're going to be talking about today the idea of tolerance. We all know what the Museum of Tolerance is. You know,
I've never been there. I've always wanted to go.
Really? It's an interesting.
It's really, really intense. Really intense.
Very depressing.
Tell people what it's about, Tessa.
The museum. Sorry.
It's here in Los Angeles.
Finally. And it's actually a Holocaust museum. So it's a museum, and they have certain historical aspects of the Holocaust, and they actually have people who were in the Holocaust. So it's very, very intense.
It is intense.
That sounds intense. Yeah.
It's very sad.
I've actually been to the Museum of Tolerance once.
very interesting and, place to go.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about history.
You really do. So you guys know what this is about. Here's the thing. Social philosopher Eric Hoffer, he really put his finger on why we need to be more tolerant. He recognized that intolerance is actually an indicator, not so much of our narrow mindlessness towards others, but for unkindness towards ourselves.
Ooh.
All right, guys, think about this for a minute.
That's a good concept.
Right? Yeah. Do you set very high standards for yourself and have a strong sense of right and wrong? Do you constantly strive for perfection, whatever that is?
Yeah.
Do you put yourself down and feel bad if you make mistakes or fall short? Do you sometimes worry that people will see through you and you must never relax or let your guard down? Is it very important to you to know that you are right? That you are right all the time? You know? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here's the roots of intolerance. Such harsh attitudes to oneself, often rooted in childhood or developed in response to social pressures, can generate uncomfortable feelings of insecurity and doubts about one's self-worth. Intolerance, refusing to accept or allow for the fallibility and difference for other people.
Yeah.
It can kind of feel like, you know, like a protecting shield type thing, you know.
Yeah.
By insisting that others must meet your standards, you avoid having to face your own fallibility and weakness.
That's interesting.
Right?
I think
that's,
you said a very, very key word in that definition, which was acceptance.
Acceptance.
And I think a large portion of tolerance is acceptance.
I agree. And, you know, that is definitely, you know, the thing, which I would say if this guy is really smart. Thank you, Eric Hoffer.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that so much of it psychologically is rooted in fear.
Okay, yeah. I want to get the let's get the psychological definition or the
all
psychological
right.
Rap.
Well, I think
not
that...
like a hip hop rap, like the hip and hop, but like the lowdown from the the psychology.
No, I think the root of intolerance is fear of the unknown. Because once you learn to tolerate others, now let me get this straight. I'm not talking about we need to tolerate terrorists.
Right.
We need to tolerate people who are antisocial murderers.
Right.
We need to tolerate bullies. We need to tolerate harmful people. No,
right.
I'm not saying that.
I'm talking about
the intolerance towards others' beliefs, you know, others' kindly actions, others' protests, others', you know, wishes, others' political parties, others' religion, things like that.
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about specifically. But I think the root of that is fear of the unknown, ignorance. I think a lot of people who are intolerant are ignorant of others' belief systems and fear that it may knock their belief system off or away. It may shake their strong belief system.
Right.
So I think, you know, people who are wrapped up in very serious orthodox religions sometimes tend to shun, you know, the other religions because they're afraid that somebody might really waver their belief system, which has kept them in a good place. And I understand that. I'm not knocking religion. I'm not. But I'm just saying that I think that this is the root of a lot of intolerance.
I'd say it shines through exponentially when the person who's intolerant is, if they also have an ego.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Definitely.
Yeah. Because, like, think about racism. That's a good scenario to relate it to.
No, yeah, definitely. You know, another thing that I do want to touch on what Doc said was, you know, we don't, she said, you know, we're not necessarily being tolerant to terrorists and, you know, murderers and stuff, right? But I think that, you know, there's a difference between, obviously there's a difference, but between, you know, tolerance and, you know, unconditional love type thing. Because here's my belief system. You know, people who do that stuff and whatnot, I mean, you know, this is straight out of the textbook, sure, but like people who do that stuff, you know, there's a lack of compassion. There's a lack of,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
So when I wouldn't say tolerance would be, you know, the key to to helping these people per se, I'd say, you know, more unconditional love, regardless, as terrible as it sounds, regardless of, you know, the terrorists, you know, bombing, this and that. they still, you know, there still definitely is a sense of, you know, they're human beings too. Like, regardless of what they've done, they need some sort of compassion.
Or
you know?
Even the culture behind the bomber.
No, yeah.
Because I feel like they get a lot of it.
Yeah, I feel like you need to make a differentiate. I can't say words.
Differentiate.
Anyway, so between the actual culture and those people who decide to stick out and do violent acts.
Right.
I mean, you can't just hate all Muslims because...
Yeah, they can't be one group.
Well, exactly. We're talking, I think, when we're talking about that, the religion of the Muslim religion, I think what we're talking about are the jihad terrorists.
Right.
I mean, that's where the line is drawn.
Right.
I mean, the majority of all the Muslims, I mean, everybody's, you know, speaking out about this mosque that is going to be built really close to Ground Zero.
It's like, yeah, it's like a block away.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people are against it. And a lot of people are saying, look, these are Muslims that are peaceful Muslims. They're not they're not the terrorist jihadists.
No, right,
that
definitely.
That are going to be, you know, going, ha ha, we blew this place up. The majority of Muslims are not like that. Now, I'm not supporting a lot of orthodox Muslim behaviors of hating other people.
Right.
And there is some of that in there. But, you know, I'm not in the culture. I don't know. I have some wonderful friends who are of that religion. And so I, you know, I wish them peace. You know, they generally are really lovely, peaceful people.
I'd say bombing isn't a part of the Muslim culture.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's definitely not.
You know, and there's no. radicals in every it's particular, not. Like, group or belief system. There's radicals in every religious belief system. Unfortunately, you know, we are focused on the horror of 9/11. And, you know, we still kind of focus on that, and we're afraid. We have to, everybody's paranoid about, you know, going in and out of airports and all that. But, I mean, there's religious intolerance. There's other religious sects, and we're not just talking about religion, that are, you know, intolerant and do also terrorist acts as well, you know. So, but also, there, you know, there's intolerance of sexual preference.
Right.
Of, political preference.
Gender, too.
Gender,
yeah.
Right. More than anything, I see a lot of, like, people in politics, especially with this last election we had here.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you know, we got to get the Republicans in the Senate. Oh, we got to keep the Democrats in the House. You know, it's just whatever. Whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, stop. Come to some kind of, you know, calm resolution. Work together. Stop fighting each other. These political parties just bore me.
And, you know, another thing about tolerance, which is linked with tolerance, is stereotypes.
Yeah.
You know, they're, like Tessa said earlier, you know, she said, like, not all, you know, Muslims are gonna, like, you know, go and, you know, blow something up. You know, like, it's not like that at all. And people have, you know, a negative connotation when they see, you know, a person, you know, walking around with a turban or something, you know.
Right.
Like, obviously, like, yes, they stand out because it's happened, but that doesn't mean that that person's a bad person. So, you know, we automatically jump to these stereotypes, and then we automatically judge.
Yeah.
You know, we judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I don't know if you guys have ever had, you know, situations where you felt judgment or a little bit intolerance or anything like that. But, I mean, I can describe a situation. This was like a couple
describe
years
the sitch,
ago.
Doc.
I was, you know, I was in a bank standing in line.
Okay.
And this guy who works at the bank was very, like, loud, and he didn't have a suit on. He had a white shirt on, but he also had this big white turban on. Now, I believe he was a Sikh. I believe, right? A Sikh.
Is that a form of
Uh-huh. It's a religion.
Muslim?
No. It's a whole entire, you know, belief system.
Okay.
But he was very assertive. The bank is great because they hired him.
Right.
And they have open minds, you know, and everything. But he came up to me really fast. He was very tall in line, and he said, "Can I help you?" And there was all these other people in line, and I kind of freaked out because he came up to me.
Right.
And I said, "No." And he goes, "Are you making a straight deposit?" And I went, "No."
Yeah.
And it just freaked me out that he was trying to be sweet and do his job, but it freaked me out because he had this huge, you know, white turban on, and he came up, and he was more assertive slash aggressive,
yeah, right,
trying to show management that he could do his job and be really friendly to people. But I think other people were looking at him like, whoa, back off.
Yeah, maybe like, but don't
was that intolerance? Is that prejudice?
No, I wouldn't call that intolerance or prejudice. See,
you had reason to be timid. In
yeah,
this.
Yeah. If he had been not normal. If he had been a Caucasian male who was just as tall and did that to you,
yeah,
you'd still
just
be,
or
aggressive.
An African American male or an Asian, any
right.
kind of,
you
know,
if you, yeah, if you were expecting just a person that didn't stick out as much because he had a turban, then
right.
it would still be creepy. Like if someone came up to you aggressively, then you'd be wanting
right.
to, like.
Right.
No, yeah, I would say that intolerance would be more if he was, you know, not aggressive and if he was mm-hmm. kind and, you know, kind of calmer mm-hmm. with the way that he did his business.
Right.
I would say that intolerance would be if he acted like that and was wearing a turban and you were still like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, that I would say that that's intolerance. No, but the fact that you have, you know, legitimate reason because, you know.
He was, and what else is interesting is I go to that bank a lot, and I haven't seen him since that one time.
That's odd.
So I think maybe there was a lot of kind of people who were a little freaked out about his aggressiveness, maybe.
Probably.
Or his, maybe he was just really trying really hard to work and do the right thing, but he freaked people out. You know?
Yo, bruh, just chill, bruh.
Is that intolerance, yeah, maybe? Yeah, just, no, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because, like, we don't know this guy. You know, like, we don't know
right.
how he acts.
Maybe he's just trying to work really hard and trying to please, you know.
Yeah, it's true. So. I want to move on to pleasure tolerance.
Oh, yeah, that is really, that's
Doc, you were talking to me about pleasure tolerance.
What right. is pleasure tolerance?
Pleasure tolerance means being able to accept life as pleasurable only up to some limit. It means not allowing your life to get good. If life becomes pleasurable beyond that limit, subconscious mechanisms are activated that bring the level of pleasure back down to the acceptable level. Everyone has a pleasure tolerance. Some people can tolerate more pleasures than others. I actually know people who have a very low tolerance
yeah.
to pleasure.
Yeah, yeah.
They constantly make negative statements about themselves and their lives. They don't mm-hmm. laugh at jokes. They're almost never doing anything for fun.
Yeah.
If I compliment them on something, they don't really, like, accept the compliment. Like, do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. kind of like people that are more like, hey, dude, what's up, bro? You know.
Yeah.
Exactly. We actually have a caller on Teen Trends. Hmm. We're going to take this, see what's up. You are live on the air, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Who are we speaking to? Hello. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends.
He's invisible.
He's invisible.
All righty.
Well, sorry, buddy.
Maybe he'll call back.
Maybe
give
him
the number
back.
Again.
Yeah, the number's 323-203-0815. Once again, that number's 323-203-0815.
Pleasure tolerance is, you know, like some people just won't allow themselves to have, you know, it's that psychological kind of thing to where, ooh, if I have too much fun or too much joy in my life, God or whoever, whatever, somebody's going to come and beat me down because I'm not supposed to
right.
be joyful all the time. That's right. what I'm talking about.
I actually yeah. learned something kind
you
of
you got to be tolerant.
Recently.
Yeah, towards
it
yourself.
Was, like, it was the level of energy throughout the day and the fluctuations
right.
of how happy you are, kind of.
Right.
Yes.
And there are some people that are capable of going way, way up. Go.
No, yeah, I was...
I want to hear this.
Yeah, no, I'm interested.
Oh, okay.
Are they calling?
So,
yeah.
You can pull them up now and let Aiden finish his thing.
So, you keep on going up,
yeah.
and there are some people that can just keep on going up for, like, 3 or 4 days,
yeah.
and they're super-duper happy, and, like, for instance, they'll have sex and do drugs and buy stuff all the time, and then there are other people who are constantly, like, sleeping, kind of, like,
yeah.
tired and sick, and, like,
right.
like, they're just naturally, they can't get beyond that line.
Right.
And then there are other people who naturally go way beyond it for
no, yeah.
those couple days.
Right, and so, I'm talking yeah. about natural life
yeah, yeah.
highs, not,
yeah.
you know, not getting high
oh,
or
no,
not
yeah,
getting
yeah,
drunk
yeah.
or not,
yeah.
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
that kind of thing.
We actually have a caller. We're going to take this. You're on the air, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. You there?
I do not hear someone.
I do not hear anybody.
Okay.
It's the same guy, girl, whatever.
All right.
Huh.
Maybe get a new phone or something.
Maybe we'll turn up the volumes or something like that on all the mics. But anyway, so I'm just, yeah, it's about, you know what I'm saying? About people who fear that if you're too, you know, joyful or happy,
yeah.
you have too much goodness that, ooh, you have to, You know, like, ooh, no. Because bad thing's going to counter it in life.
Yeah,
and when you think that, you create it.
Yeah, of course. You know.
Yeah, that's scary. You don't want to be around those people, though. Yeah.
Right? Totally.
Exactly.
They're kind of reclusive.
No, yeah, I do agree. There's also, you know, there's also a thing with people who have a very high tolerance to pleasure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They love their work. They always have, believe it or not, it's actually very true. People with a high pleasure tolerance tend to, you know, have more money.
I'd say that makes sense.
They naturally take good care of their health. They laugh and initiate fun wherever they go. The difference between people who enjoy their lives a lot and those who enjoy their lives only a little is not luck, education, or genes. The difference is their level of pleasure tolerance. It's true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, think about the people who are constantly laughing and enjoying life. They do naturally bring in more happiness.
Right.
And, I mean, with happiness comes, I know it sounds kind of wrong.
No. Go on.
The money does come with it.
No, it's true. You know,
So it is natural for the happiness to come, and then there's the money.
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree.
You know, it's what you bring, you know?
Right.
Like, whatever you, you know... If you choose, you know, to think that way, that's what you bring. Thoughts are things.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Everybody,
exactly.
Everybody's heard that. Thoughts are things, guys.
They really are.
An inability to tolerate pleasure comes from many different sources.
Hmm.
One source is the expectations you formed as a child about how pleasurable life would be as an adult.
Right.
If the adults in your childhood environment didn't appear to enjoy life very much,
right,
then you formed an expectation that life wouldn't be very enjoyable.
Right.
Unless you grew up with, like, you know, only, like, blissed out saints around you.
But, I mean, a lot of parents are, you know, like, ooh, you got to work hard. Ooh, you got to go to school. Ooh, you got to study. And it comes off like a fear, or comes off like, ooh, we can't have any pleasure in life.
It's the pressure. The pressure, it has a very huge effect on people.
It really does. It really did. But then, you know, I think parents do that sometimes because they fear that kids are just going to, you know, like, go for it and not have self-control or whatever. It's just a way of controlling.
It's a matter of balance between pressure and, like, expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah.
I agree.
Totally. You know, another thing is some religions reduce a person's tolerance to pleasure by teaching people that they are not worthy of God's love.
Oh, yeah.
Or by giving them other negative messages.
Guilt-tripping. You
know, guilt-tripping.
Right. Guilt-tripping. You know, is
okay.
Terrible.
Right, exactly.
When I was younger, my he was my best friend at the time. His name's Justin.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to church and whatnot. And his dad used to tell him that if you do this, the devil's going to get you.
Right.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His dad used to tell him, like, you know, if you do this thing, or, like, you know, if you, you know, and he's like a little, like, 6-year-old kid, man.
I'm really curious as to how that impacted him this far down the road.
Yeah.
Like, what type of person he is.
He's a good guy.
My father grew up in a Catholic household and went to a Catholic elementary school, middle school, high school, and then, like, the beginning of college.
Right.
And, you know, his whole entire life was all about guilt tripping. And, like, and finally, he got to a point where he wanted to marry a Protestant, which was my mom.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the Catholic Church, you can't marry anyone who's not Catholic.
Right.
Or else you're out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved this woman. So he got to a point where he's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. There's no more guilt tripping for me.
Yeah. That's cool, though. You know, sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I think that's exactly that. That's exactly what we're talking about, is tolerance for other people. I mean, if you love someone, like your dad loves your mom, you know, if you love someone, you have to kind of look at sensibility sometimes. You have to look at, you know, the dogma of others versus your true heart. You know, and how...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't... You know, it's interesting you said, I don't know how that guy turned out and everything, but I do know that from, you know, that Justin guy he was talking about, from seeing clients, you know, for years who are like young adults now, a lot of their issues stem from kind of guilt, being told that they were sinners or that the devil would get them if they, you know, didn't do...
The laundry.
Simple stuff. I mean, simple stuff. And if they didn't come to church and believe the way they believed, that they will burn in hell. And it's like, whoa, okay.
It's really scary.
And then they have guilt for thinking against that. Like, I don't kind of believe that stuff. I'm a young adult, and I think it's kind of crazy that there's all these belief systems and that I would burn, or someone of another religion, I'm going to assume is going to burn in hell because they don't believe like me. So they work through what they need to, you know, especially a lot of that guilt.
No, totally. I actually want to tell you guys a story. quick story, right? Quick,
David.
Guys. So I used to work at this place called Secret Spot. It was a kiosk in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, he was one of these guys. I used to be the guys that would like go up to you and be like, hey, do you want to try this lotion? Like,
oh yeah, those like, guys we all walk by and go,
I love them.
That was a great kiosk though.
Do
you know
it?
What?
It was
that's
cool.
A good
kiosk.
I mean, I don't mean to give these people a plug or anything
because
I know you don't right now have an advertiser, but they really have a, I love that stuff. That hand lotion and stuff.
No,
awesome.
No, yeah, no, it's really
it's really
good.
Neat.
It's really cool, right?
Yeah. But anyway, it's a good product to be able to sell if you're going to have to stick yourself out there.
No, yeah, for sure. And people liked it. You know, it's helping people, but that's beside the point. So, I go up to this one guy, and he's just walking around. He has the first thing I notice on him is he's just, you know, probably like 50-year-old Caucasian male.
Yes.
First thing I notice is a Bible in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And a big like chain cross.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That's cool, you know? Like
yeah,
like
sure.
Go for it, man.
Sure,
like
sure.
I wear jade and I wear tourmaline.
That's
you know,
weird.
Like I wear like stones and crystals cuz I like their energy. Like that's like my mm-hmm. cross, you know,
yeah.
per se.
Oh.
But I'm like, how's it going? Like, would you like to try some? You want to try our hand lotion made with sea salt from the Dead Sea? Like, and he's like, sure. So he comes over. First thing he says to me, he starts talking about Jesus.
To try your product and so he could sell you on the religion.
Right?
Okay.
So here we go. So he starts talking to me about Jesus and he's like, you know, like, you best thank Jesus for this job and just stuff like that. And, you know, I was like, for sure, man, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
And then he started asking me, he goes, you a Christian boy?
Boy.
And are you a Christian boy? And, you know, I'm not one, you know, to give false information. So I was like, I don't follow, you know, the Christian religion. He goes, why not? Jesus gave you, like, Jesus, like, shed his blood for you and,
yeah.
like, the whole flesh thing. With he went into that. And then I was just like, you know, man, like, you know, I totally believe in Jesus, but, you know, I have other thoughts towards that. And then he whips out the Bible.
Yeah.
He's, like, already holding, and he just, like, breaks it out. He's like, verse... Nah,
did he start reading scripture for
he
you?
He started reading scripture.
You are a sinner. Oh, no.
No, right? And then he started asking me, yeah. like, what do I believe in?
Yeah.
You know, just like, dude, I'm at work, bro. Like... Like,
yeah.
So he starts asking me, like, what do you believe in and stuff? And I was like, you know, I'm more into, you know, the spiritual, like, universal aspect of life. And he just went off.
You're going to hell.
Yeah, I know. You're going to hell. He goes, you better start praying to Jesus before. Okay, this is what he said, and then we'll get back. I'm sorry. He said that the reason why I think like that is because it's the devil changing my mind.
That's right.
That's what he said.
Well, you know, and that's a real strong belief system of some people, you know, and
I'm not putting it down.
All you
I'm
can do is
like,
say, okay, man, that's your choice, and
wait.
And you know, whatever.
if you said that to me, I'd say, well, that's my devil changing your mind.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. Right, exactly. Well, you know, I mean, it's very difficult when people are really dogmatic, you know, about certain aspects of their religion.
Basically.
There's no convincing, and you don't have to. This is the topic that you're talking about today is tolerance and allowing, respecting. Again, except for those people who want to kill us, terrorists, and, you know, antisocial murderers, things like that,
yeah.
that cause harm.
I have a story, too.
Okay.
Tell us a story,
Tessa. This has nothing to do
no
with
No way.
Tolerance.
That's so cool.
Okay.
That's such a
you
great story, Tessa.
You need to be tolerant of my story, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, so this isn't religion. This has more to do along the lines of, you know, dealing with people who are intolerant.
Okay.
Right.
I have a really, like, it's kind of out there because I usually, you know, when people are intolerant, like you're kind of expecting someone to be like full on out there. Like,
yeah,
intolerance. I was in Rite Aid once and I was getting ice cream. I was in line for ice cream.
Yeah.
And this guy, I was with my brother, and this guy comes up behind us. He starts talking to us about ice cream. He's really into ice cream. He buys like a pint every week. He eats
wow.
it. A pint.
Whatever. he buys a lot of ice cream every week, and he eats it. And he's so into this ice cream, and he's like trying to be friends with us because we like ice cream.
Was he older or younger?
No, he was older. He was maybe like 40 years old.
Did he try to give you candy?
No.
Yeah, that's what that was my first thought. You want some candy,
no,
little girl?
No, well, because I was with my brother, so no, obviously.
You want some candy, little boy?
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, go on.
Anyway. So my brother and I leave, and my brother goes, "That was scary." And I was like, "What? What's scary? I mean, we just had a conversation about how much we love ice cream. You didn't see his tattoos? What tattoos? Oh, he had a bunch of swastikas all over his chest, and it said white power and like all this stuff."
No
and I was
way.
Like,
That's odd.
I mean, like he had a bald head, but like usually when I think of people with bald head, I think of my history teacher who has a bald head.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that. But like, I guess he had like white power all over his chest and like swastikas and everything.
Oh.
And I like usually
you kind of didn't.
Yeah.
See
when
that.
You think
yeah.
of neo-Nazis, you're not thinking of someone who eats a whole bunch of ice cream every week.
And that's your intolerance, Jessa. No, I'm kidding. No, that's interesting. That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
No, that's,
wow. Woo!
All neo-Nazis so, love ice cream.
I know. Apparently, neo-Nazis.
Whoa, that's
ice
stereotyping.
Well,
come
that's
on,
right.
bro. Just chill, man.
No, and that's good that you just allowed it to kind of like, ooh, go away. You know,
right.
I mean, you were nice kids and you didn't stir up anything and you didn't, you know, it's
that's
just
odd.
Like,
but,
go away.
But it was really weird to me because I was. Like, usually when you think of neo-Nazis, you're not thinking of someone who loves ice cream. You're thinking of someone who's out there, like,
it could be an
really
ex-neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
You don't know
well,
that.
Well, you don't know.
Well, he wouldn't be showing his
you're
tattoos
so funny.
Off.
Oh, you're right. Probably wear a shirt with that.
But, you know, religious and bad people and terrorists and frightening people like ice cream too, Tessa. Thank you.
A lot of people like
I'm so frightening and I love
ice cream.
Okay.
You have some.
I actually want to get to my emails to help you guys out because you sent me emails. Emails of the day regarding tolerance, guys.
Yay.
Seriously,
yay.
Guys, we're just going to start these right about now.
Okay.
Is that cool?
You have a funny voice.
He does have a funny
seriously.
Voice. He has a funny personality.
I could also go down here. I could be like, what up, guys? How's it going? This is Team Trend with David. We'll get to the email right about now.
I can't understand you, David. Read the email.
Speak okay. clearly and continue.
All right. Dear Dave, I used to be homophobic. And think that gay people were strange. But I met a couple of really wonderful gay guys at my school who are now wonderful friends. Mm. And have changed my prejudice about gay people. Listen to my thoughts. All right. It is not a lifestyle choice, and contrary to what most Bible thumpers would have you believe, it was not a choice at all. You were born gay, and that's just the way it is. People have no more of a choice in being gay than your family members had in being straight. Be proud of who you are. Celebrate the fact that you are unique and have so much to offer in this world. I've been compelled to write you because of my friends who have been struggling for years with this issue. He comes from a Mormon family and has learned to be ashamed, fearful, afraid, and ultimately exhausted of the rejection of who and what he truly is. It made me angry. Homophobia is a fear-based thought process. We fear that which we do not understand.
Yep.
That's true.
That's right.
One of the best ways to change people who are homophobic is give them a chance to know a variety of gay and lesbian people. This is also a good way to work with internal homophobia. Support groups and connection to the gay and lesbian community can help people identify with others and feel good about who they are. Once people are comfortable with who and what they are, they usually stop persecuting others for being different. It's all about loving oneself.
Agreed.
Thank you, Anthony.
No, I think that's a really good explanation because, you know, most gay people who I know and have worked with sort of didn't choose it. I mean, it's just, and some of them actually, one gentleman in particular who I'm thinking about, who I worked with years ago at a clinic, didn't kind of announce that he was gay, kept it in for years until he was like 45 because he was raised, you know, in a Catholic family, and he was very afraid. What was interesting is when I was working with him at the clinic, he would take pictures of, like, gatherings or, you know, like, parties or, you know, things that we all had together. If we had, like, holiday parties and pictures. And there were always pictures of kind of, hey, let's take a picture, Dr. Michelle. You know?
Right.
And what happened was he sent these pictures to his family saying, this is my real, this is the girl I really adore.
No.
Yeah. So his family all thought that he and I were an item because he was so fearful. I didn't care. I didn't really know his family. I didn't care.
Did he talk to you about it? Was he like, do you mind if I do this?
Do you know what I found out? No, he never asked me.
No
he never
way.
Talked to me about it. I found out when his family came for some, it was like a marriage or something in his family that I was invited to. And they came up to me and they said, for the longest time, we thought you were his girlfriend. Because that week he told them that he had come out of the closet. And they said, oh, we were so happy that, you know, he was with such a nice girl for so long. And I just kept quiet and I said, yeah, well, he's been my really good friend for a while. And,
interesting.
No way.
Yeah, I felt so bad for him, though, that he had to do that.
Yeah.
Did you go up to him where you're like, yo, man? So.
Yeah, I didn't want to hurt his feelings or get mad at him. I just said, guy, you really pulled that one off for a long time. You
know,
that must have been really tough for you. That's, you know, I mean, what else is a psychologist going to say?
Yeah.
Hey, F you.
Condemn him? No, you know, I don't. Come on. You know,
I'd say intolerance also comes from comfortability levels.
Yeah.
Comfortability.
Yeah.
Comfort levels.
Yeah.
That's right. What we're comfortable with.
It's true. I want to get on to the next email. Dear Dave, I want to tell you the real story about what Buddhism is about. So that person who's judgmental of others' religions can understand their religion better. Buddhism is a religion of about 300 million people around the world. The word comes from Buddhi, to awaken. Not like booty.
Not B-O-O-T-Y.
No, but B-U-D-H-I.
Buddha. Yeah.
Booty. It looks like booty.
That's your mind, dude.
So intolerant to the way this word is meant to be pronounced.
Right.
It has origins of about 2,500 years ago when Siddhartha Gautama, known as the Buddha, was himself awakened or enlightened at the age of 35. To many, Buddhism goes beyond religion as more of a philosophy or a way of life. It is a philosophy because philosophy means love of wisdom. And the Buddhist path can be summed up as 1, lead to a moral life, 2, to be mindful and aware of thoughts and actions, and 3, to develop wisdom and understanding. Right? Buddhism explains a purpose to life. It explains apparent injustice and inequality around the world, and it provides a code of practice or way of life that leads to true happiness.
All right.
That's cool.
So understanding of others' belief systems, there's no judgment is what you're saying,
right?
Is what I get. You got that from a listener?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
very
I did.
Cool.
Something that I actually find like kind of weird. I don't know, Doc. Do you ever get this on your show?
Why?
You'll by like random chance, you'll get like 2 or 3 emails that like are so similar. They're like so similar. Okay, I got 3 emails today regarding Buddhism.
Interesting.
Right?
Very cool.
Yeah, that's odd.
Like,
isn't that weird?
Okay, two of them ironically have to do with Buddhism and Christianity, and then that one was just apparently people are intolerant to Buddhists. I don't know.
Interesting.
You mad? No. Just kidding.
That was a nice laugh.
Scary laugh. Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna read the Buddhist ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, "Sup, teen trends." I like that.
Sup,
teen trends. I can't tolerate when Christian people try preaching to me. I follow the Buddhist religion and I live in a Christian community. I get agitated when people start talking about Jesus and whatnot. And then they try telling me how I'm a sinner for not praying to Jesus. It pisses me off! ! How can I nicely tell them to go away and stop trying to convert me to their beliefs, your friend Jasper?
I have one quick comment that's really ironic.
Yes.
So, he gets pissed off when they bring up Jesus. He's being intolerant of their intolerance.
Well, that's I don't think he's being intolerant. I think he's just kind of fed up with it.
Yeah.
Can I'm going to say something of this.
Yeah, you spit it.
I'm going to spit it. Okay, there's only a certain point where you can tolerate being preached to all the time about this. Like, I've had 3-hour conversations with people who have tried to convert me, trying to convince me. Yeah. And, like, all the while, I'm like, how do you not believe in evolution?
Right.
Like, this is a fundamental knowledge.
I'd say that's intolerance on your part, though. You need
I'm not telling them, I'm not like, hey, how do you not believe in evolution? Yeah. But, like, all the while, I'm thinking it. I mean, like...
You just need to be content with the fact that those are their belief systems.
Right.
And be content with them trying to push it on to you. Don't adhere to it, but don't get upset.
I tend to agree with you.
Sorry, go on, Tessa.
Sorry,
yeah,
Tessa.
I think the best thing to do is just kind of be like,
Like,
either just accept it and not even listen to it, or just be like, hey, you know what? I have to go do something right now.
No,
That's exactly right.
You know, and I think the thing with Jasper is, Tessa, you nailed it. I think he's just fed up. You know, like he said, he lives in the Christian community. So, you know, he probably gets a lot of like, oh, you're the Buddhist, you know, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, bro, you're the Buddhist.
There's a lot of judgment against him, and I get that too. But I think you're right too, Tessa, about drawing boundaries. Just like the guy who came up to you when you were in the mall, Dave.
No, yeah.
Who had his Bible and was telling you you were going to go to hell and you were possessed by the devil. I mean, there's a certain amount of tolerance, but then we have to draw boundaries and say, okay, I really hear what you're saying. I respect your belief system. I'm not with you on that, but I need to go away now because I'm feeling a little freaked out. So,
and
I
think if I was possessed by the devil, I'd be doing something a little bit more harmful than trying to sell people lotion.
Valid point.
True story.
The devil's lotion.
Watch his hand just like start to like sizzle like. No, I'm just playing. Okay, I'm gonna go on to the other Buddhist email, and then we will go on to the other ones. Let's see here, guys. Hey, Teen Trends. The problem I want to ask you guys about would be how to make others more tolerant of different religions.
Hmm.
I go to a primarily Christian high school, and I'm Buddhist.
Oh.
And the main thing is that I always hear people bashing on other religions, particularly on Buddhism and Muslims.
Hmm.
Not that they're being racist or evil, just making jokes that are offensive since it is something so close to a person.
Hmm.
I'm usually reluctant to tell people what my beliefs are since I've been around so many people who have made fun of Buddhism. Any ideas on how to solve this? Thanks.
Tolerance. I mean, and that's really a hard thing to learn, especially when you've been raised in, you know, a particular dogma and convinced that your way is the only way and other people's ways are wrong.
Right.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say, you know, yes, indeed, tolerance. But at the same time, you know, I guess... Along with tolerance, see, tolerance is tolerating something. Tolerance is like dealing with it and tolerating it. I think that this is more of just like, instead of tolerating it, just forget about it. Like, just don't let it get to you, you know?
I think it's important to discuss that part of Buddhism is being very peaceful and like not trying to start something. And I guess if you're looking for a way out of not... having a conflict, I think the best thing to do would just
stick to your beliefs. Yeah.
And don't try and start something.
Right. I'd say peace is a form of tolerance against negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing, just a more subtle.
So, yeah, so that, what was the fellow's name there?
Oh, he actually didn't put a name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, exactly, you guys...
He or she.
Really, right, were, you know, correct. You know, just continue to... align with your belief systems, which come from the Buddhist religion, I believe. And, you know, if you're, you know, there's a lot of people who are of other religions who go to parochial schools of all types.
Right.
Yeah.
There's Catholics who go to Judaism schools. There's, you know, vice versa. There, you know, so it's just being tolerant of others.
Right.
You know.
Right. I'm going to get a different type of email. Does not include religion, Buddhism, Christianity. It goes, hey, Teen Trends, I'm a 23-year-old male from Southern California. Something that I find interesting within myself is I can't seem to tolerate my girlfriend when she is drunk.
Oh.
She doesn't drink too often, but when she does, she gets out of control. When she drinks, I will have a few, but she just doesn't know when to stop. Well. She honestly acts like a 17-year-old high school girl at a party. She also does not know what to say, or she also doesn't know what not to say.
That's
when she's under the influence, right?
Yeah.
What can I do to convey this message to her? I've talked to her about it, but she just shuns me and denies it. What else can I say? Thanks, Jonathan. Well, Johnny boy, you've tried talking to her.
First of all, don't talk to her when she's drunk.
Well, yeah.
There's step one.
Okay. You know what? This would be like Ulta, like Recon, like Max and Pro studio status. Like,
it would be like, no one knows what you just said.
Yeah, no one except you.
It's my lingo.
Explain what you just said. What did you just say? And what does that mean?
I don't even think Aiden knows it.
Okay, what does that mean?
No, this is like, okay, basically some like James Bond shiesty shit.
Okay.
So,
what does that mean? Jeez.
You're gonna be recon stats.
Like sneaky undercover, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
No, why would this be sneaky undercover?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
I have a hypothesis. No,
idiot.
I have not a hypothesis. Flippin' idiot. I have a
conclusion,
maybe. An idea. Okay, so, Johnny, check this. When she gets drunk next time, no joke, and I don't know if this will be taking it to extremes, but here's the thing. If you've been, like, talking to her and you said that she denies it, you said that she shuns you and she completely denies it, all right, dog, check this. What I would do is next time she gets drunk, like, when you know she's going to get drunk, take a video camera, right? No joke. Videotape her. Film her when she is acting like a 17-year-old girl at a high school party. Do it. And then when she's not drunk, and then be like, listen, babe, I'm going to talk to you about this again. And if she says, no, be like, yo, bam, proof. What up?
Here's the proof, yeah.
You've got to be a little subtle about it so she doesn't feel like it's an attack of her privacy or her own personal space. Filming is something that's a very controversial matter when it comes to proving something.
Right.
No, dude, that's completely true. But here's the thing. Like, if she is... What does he say? She honestly asks like a 17-year-old high school girl at a party. She does not know what not to say when she's under the influence. Okay, here's the part. I've talked to her about it, but she just shuns me and denies it.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. I think that's a good idea of video. I mean, yeah, you know,
no, yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree about privacy.
Yeah, that's a wonderful...
But then she could get, like, super pissed.
Here's the thing.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what she gets. My point of view is, if you're going to... He's tolerating this, okay? Here's where we draw the line. Is something harmful to you? Is something harming someone you love? Whatever it is, drugs, alcohol, you want to kill people, you want to, whatever.
Whoa.
It's about harm. It's about hurting. It's about, he cares for her. She acts like an idiot, all right? He's trying to help her out and say, look, you don't know what you're doing. Getting, you know, drunk sounds like she gets drunk all the time. Maybe she needs to go to some support group.
No,
maybe
he said that she doesn't drink too often.
Yeah.
But
when she does, she needs to chill out, and he needs to say
herself.
To her, look, here's the deal. You are such a turnoff when you're drunk.
Yeah.
I am almost done with you. If you can't drink, we're adults. He said, what, it's 25?
23.
We're adults. If you can't drink when you drink in moderation, I am going to walk away.
Yeah. She needs an ultimatum. It's the thing. It doesn't even have to be that severe. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to drink too much and you're going to act this way, then I'm not going to be around you when you're drinking. Or if you don't know how many drinks you can have, then maybe you can't have any drinks.
Yeah. You know, there's definitely a balance between, you know, getting, like, super schwasty drunk and, like...
Schwasty drunk?
Well, the thing is that, you know, it's about... Right. I mean, they're both adults, it sounds like. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, he's tolerating... Well, he sounds like he's getting really not tolerant of it anymore. And it's not safe.
Yeah.
It's not only about her not being able to talk.
Safety.
I mean, who knows if she's going to drive or what kind of trouble she's going to get into if she's at a party or
if she can't what's good to say.
Right.
I doubt her judgment regarding
See,
other
that's
fields.
Such a big thing
right
there. That's such a big thing. She doesn't know what she also does not doesn't know what not to say.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That's
rude.
There's no judgment there.
Yeah.
It's a detriment to her safety. So
yeah.
That's true. Be a little stronger, guy.
Guys, this has been such a pleasant experience being in the studio with you all.
Thank you, Dave.
Check us out every single Sunday on LATalkRadio.com, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, and check out Doc Michelle on the Couch every Friday at 11.
Thank you.
Check her out. She's awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming in the studio. Aiden, Tessa, Doc.
Bye.
Always a pleasure.
David. Bye, listeners.
Bye.
All listeners, you guys have a wonderful Sunday filled with happiness, excitement, joy, laughter, love. You have a good one, guys. Bye-bye. Flashing red.